Hey, yo, we're back. My name is Drew.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you're in fact listening to one and only Carolyn and Joe Show!
Delayed reaction.
Good delay there, Carolyn. It's good to know you're paying attention after all this time here. It's good to know I'm still running the show.
You are the main host.
I'm the main host. This is a teamwork. This is a team effort.
But you always do really cool intros.
No, I do not do very cool intros. I do annoying intros. All I am is just annoying you guys. I am the annoyance. I
you
am
really
Joe the
that?
Annoyance.
I don't think you're annoying.
I am Joe the annoyance. But,
if that's
yes,
how you
we are
be
in fact,
known.
We're in fact back from Awesome Con. That was this past weekend. Sorry for the delay, guys, but I hope you don't mind. Even if you're paying attention, if you're not paying attention, I hope you don't mind. We took a little bit of a delay.
A two-day delay.
A Carolyn delay. Like she just had. It's perfect time. Just have a little break, a little time to ourselves. But we are still here. We're back. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going good, and I will say, even though it was a two-day delay, we still put out an episode every week. For how many episodes, Joe?
That's right. Whether you guys know it or not, we have been doing this for over 4 years nonstop every week.
We haven't missed a week.
My name is Joe Carabeo. I'm a filmmaker. I am a writer. I am a podcaster all of a sudden. And this is what I do. This is what we do. We tell stories. And across the studio from me right now, across from the screen, across from the awesome Jack White music
center.
That's playing in the background of this new stuff with people talking over me, is the cartoonist Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm good. I'm talking over you in the glass enclosed nerve center.
That's right.
So, Joe, I really like this new Jack White song.
Me too.
And you showed me, apparently they had the record day. Was that last Saturday? Was that overlapping with Awesome Con?
Yes, another talking over. It is the talk over the Saturday of Awesome Con. It was that record store day. It was.
Yeah, and
the fastest record ever made.
You showed me that, and it was, pretty amazing, because, basically, I guess the gist of it is that Jack White played, a mini show, and at the same time, they were actually making the record in the next room over. So and it also showed me a process of making a record that I've never seen visually before. So that was pretty impressive.
Jack White is in fact one of my heroes. A lot of people don't know that about me, that I actually have heroes. A lot of people don't know a lot of stuff about me, but it's okay. I don't care that you don't know, and I don't care about you. I care about just getting stuff done.
How come you don't care about the
people
that
listen
to you?
I'm not really in the best mood. This is sort of, I'm in the pissed off mood today. I'm not really in a very cheery mood, but the show must go on.
Aww.
It must survive. But now it's time for the Carolyn's news.
It's time for my news. All right, guys. There's a lot of tour dates coming up in May because we just hit Awesome Con. So just so y'all know, I don't think it's been officially confirmed, but it's pretty much confirmed. I just haven't announced it yet. That on May 3rd is definitely Free Comic Book Day across the nation. Go to your local comic book store, wherever you are listening to us. You can find all the information and find out where your local comic book store is. And there should be free comics on that day. It's not like the whole store is for free. Just selected comics that are out that day. It's really fun. Joe and I have been actually going to this event for over a decade. It's so great that they actually put this together. I mean, obviously the initiative is to get people in the comic book stores and everyone wants to get a free comic. And also in addition to that, it's to bring in new people who are like, whoa, I never even knew there was a comic book store in my area. Now I know, and now I'm hooked. So I think it's a great holiday. And how do you remember it? It's the first Saturday in May every year. So this year it falls on May 3rd, and Joe and I will be in Vienna, Virginia at Big Planet Comics. So please check us out there. And also I'm happy to announce I organized a few other local cartoonists that are participating in the Cartoonist Draw Blood Blood Drive. They are also going to be making appearances for Free Comic Book Day on May 3rd in honor to promote the upcoming Blood Drive. And it's Joe Soltiff. He will be at Big Planet Comics in Bethesda, Maryland. And Teresa Roberts Logan will be at Big Planet Comics in Washington, D.C. on U Street. Also, Troy Jeffrey Allen and Matt Ralston will be at Phantom Comics in Union Station in Washington, D.C. So that is pretty awesome. And all those people are participating in the Blood Drive. That is on May 31st, Saturday, May 31st, the last day in May, from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Seekers Church. The address is 276 Carroll Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. It's right near the Tacoma Park Metro. And this is a project I organized with the American Red Cross and National Cartoonist Society. What happens is you sign up to donate blood. You donate a pint of blood, which is the way they take it in pints. So, and then basically, the Red Cross is doing this. No cartoonists are stabbing you with needles, but you do get a free thank you sketch from one of the artists that are participating in this blood drive. So if you want to donate your blood, you can email cartoonistsdrawblood@gmail.com. So either Troy and I will get back to you, because we're organizing the event this year. So, I mean, we did it last year. They said that we saved up to 90,000 lives, which is pretty awesome. Did I say 90,000? No, I meant to say 90, because 90,000 would be, like, crazy ridiculous. But we saved up to 90 lives that day. And it's pretty amazing how just a handful of people can do some good like that and reach out to community. Definitely amazing. And, yeah, so that's a pretty big event. But also, on May 10th, Joe and I will be at ANS Sci-Fi and Comic-Con in La Plata, Maryland. And on May 17th, we will be at Gaithersburg Book Festival at Gaithersburg City Hall Grounds in Maryland. So it looks like we're going to be hitting up Maryland a lot this year. I mean, it's already like several events right there. And also, we're going to be in Baltimore Comic-Con September 5th through 7th. And that is in Baltimore, which is in Maryland. And also, Small Press Expo is in Bethesda, Maryland, and we'll be there the following weekend, September 13th and 14th. So it looks to be like a major Maryland hijacking, because we will take over that state. Carolyn and Joe, Curl Studio, will devour Maryland all year long. And also, you know, Tacoma Park is kind of near Maryland. So, Cartoonist Draw Blood is near Maryland. That's another one.
I will not be able to make it to that.
You will not be able to make it to that. But can you at least describe just in a few sentences how it was like to give blood? Because you hadn't done it before.
Well, I'm used to people trying to steal my blood, or people trying to poke me with needles, and I felt like it was a fine occasion. I always try to entertain myself. I think it was good. I mean, anyone who's ever had their blood drawn, it's exactly like that, except this is not by your doctor or anything. This is by a registered blood drawer, Red Cross person. But overall, it always feels good to do something good, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, about you, but truthfully, I did not feel anything, really. Like, you know how some people are like, sometimes I feel like an energy loss and stuff like that. I did not feel that. I pretty much felt relatively normal.
A lot of times in situations like that, like if I'm at the doctor, or if I'm at the dentist, or anything. If I'm at a toll booth, and I'm trying to entertain myself, because if I don't entertain myself, I'm probably just going to be very, very annoying. I always try to put on some sort of, like, show or entertain or make some sort of entertaining small talk with people just to make it feel like, you know, something's happening. It's sort of what I do, I guess. It might be a little fraudulent, but, like, I feel like, you know, if there's nothing happening, I'd like to somehow entertain people or entertain myself. And usually that's what I did during the blood drive. It's like, you know, making some entertaining small talk, see if anyone notices, or I give a smile to anybody.
Yeah, the blood drive was pretty entertaining last year. I thought you were entertaining. You were spinning some jams. You provided some music for our area in the drawing area. But yeah, like, I mean, definitely, I feel good about giving the blood, because when I was younger, I used to be afraid of it, but this time I was like, man, that's a really good idea, and I love, like, the title, Cartoonist Draw Blood, and we were doing it around Halloween time last year, so I was like, man, this is, like, you can't go wrong with this, it just sounds good. So I did donate, and, you know, it actually felt like a refresh of blood. You know when they say when you ride a roller coaster, you get, like, new blood cells getting made?
I think it's funny, when I Instagrammed that image of me there, a lot of people thought I was injured.
No.
They're like, what happened? And then the rest of them just didn't care.
But I should say, if you do plan on giving blood, make sure you do eat, like, a healthy meal before, and I guess, like, have some liquids throughout the day. Obviously, keep yourself energized. Don't Don't come in there, you know, sick or already. So keep yourself healthy, which is what you should be doing overall. Because I'm like a big proponent of also like consistently drinking water recently. And I have my water bottle with me throughout the day at work, which is pretty awesome idea to do. So I definitely thumbs up on drinking water. I think that's actually my number one cause. Actually, you know, like when girls like are like Miss America or something.
Yeah.
They're all like, this is my cause. Like
some like, of their bullshit cause to feel like they're doing something
like
important.
Some of them are probably really into it, but I feel like some of them, it's like more like they have to have some type of charity attached to their name.
I really don't believe anything they say. Their goal was to just stand there and be pretty. That's their end goal. Everything else was just like, oh, I have an elective I have to do. You know how like you're in school and you have to graduate, but you have to have elective. That's the same thing with, I think, majority of those girls. I'm happy to have them on the show and prove me wrong. So if they have a problem with what I say, come on the show and prove me wrong. I'm totally fine with that. But my opinion still stands. Everything else they do beyond that is bullshit.
So
I almost think that whole entire thing is fucking bullshit.
So I will say about, like, you know, I feel like as far as like charity work that I've done stuff for the Red Cross by organizing the blood drive, and also Team Cul-de-Sac. That's a pretty big, awesome part of a team that I've been a part of for a couple of years that organized money for Parkinson's research in honor of Richard Thompson. So
yeah,
both of those charities are actually like really important to me. So, and also I will say, back to drinking water, I think, like, you know how you always hear about like people like that say they want to have like good clean drinking water. I think that is actually important to me too, because I love water. It's what's keep us alive, you know. I'm sure I have a lot of other causes that I like. Oh yeah, I also did, like, a couple years back, I did the breast cancer sketch card. And I've done a couple, actually, the other charity I did was Wonder Woman Day, that all that money went to a shelter based on a comic book store, Comic Fusion, up in New Jersey. So, like, you know, there's probably a couple other things that I've done too. But Wonder Woman Day was pretty fun. They basically sell the art from cartoon artists to go to the charity. But yeah, I mean, that's all fun projects. But yeah, as far as like the Miss America chicks, they definitely like...
Let's not give any time to talk about any of those people. I don't really believe in that. I'm actually very sour on like the beauty industry in general, or anything of that. If anyone wants to, you know, it's like, I'm a photographer and hang out a bunch of that, but I doubt they listen to this, and if they do, they can call me out on it, you know? But I doubt they do, but I find it really becoming very shallow. And not that it's not already been shallow, but it's hard for me to find inspiration for it. That's why I really like to focus on filmmaking, but, you know, it's a tough deal. There's a lot of stuff that's sort of built off of just jealousy, you know? It's like you have all these people... They're like, oh, I gotta shoot with this person, and blah, 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 blah. It's just, fuck that, man.
But truthfully, you know, like, I will say, as far as, like, looking good and all, I do think it is, if you are gonna have, like, a photo shoot or, like, do headshots and stuff, obviously you do want to have, like, really good makeup and look good. Because you don't want to just, like, wake up in the morning and be like, I'm ready for my close-up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's not really the point, but it's the fact of, like, how many, like, times these models and shit, it's just... I don't know. I'm really finding it hard to believe it's like a plausible, like, I don't know. Beauty for beauty's sake is like, because you were just talking about having a cause, you know, and the reason why Awesome Con was created was also to, you know, bring all these people together and enjoy stuff they do. But then there's a lot of things involved with like this, any one of that beauty industry, the model industry, is just like, girls just want to be hot and have their photo taken and want to be, you know, want fame and fortune and shit like that. And I'm just like, you're not trying to do anything else? And it's really starting to get to me. So it's sort of like, I don't know, it's bullshit in a way, but that's that part of the world.
Well, since you mentioned Awesome Con, do you want to like do a little audio recap of Awesome Con?
I would love to, because that's the only reason why we're doing the show instead of posting these podcasts.
Yeah. So like, it was my idea to do a recap show because, like, Joe wanted to just immediately start posting our panels that we did at Awesome Con, but I really felt like we wanted to talk about Awesome Con in a public forum because Awesome Con was pretty amazing.
Well, now anyone who listens to this public forum is going to be able to hear all my hate talk.
That's okay. I mean, we'll transition into some good, awesome con talk. But basically, so you actually were on part of the documentary team producing the AwesomeCon documentary, which you're
I wasn't just on part of. I produced it, so I made that whole thing happen.
You made the whole team. Clarify that,
so people who don't know.
Joe made it happen, and so you already were there a couple days earlier with Ben. Ben Pinrod, the man who created AwesomeCon.
It's always a tough deal because I feel like, you know, I was talking to a couple last month, in March, on another project. I was talking to another awesome producer, Capella, that I have worked for, and we were talking about producers in general, how they don't really get the due as that the director does. She was talking about when she was like in. I forget if it was like in Cannes or some other like big or, you know, what was the one in Salt Lake?
Sundance?
Yeah, she was like in Sundance, you know, and she produced the Everyman's Journey. You know, she made that movie happen. She busted her butt. And, you know, she's not talking down on the director, but she was like saying like, man, the producers don't really get shit. You know what I mean? Like the director and the cast, they always get all the free meals and all that. They always get the free meals, get the rooms, get the press. But then the producer gets nothing. She had to pay her way there to make that happen. And it's like I see that and I'm just like, this is, and like, and not that I'm saying that it's a downer to be a producer. You made that happen. When you get an Oscar, you're the one who goes up there and gets the movie. But it is sort of in that way of like. It's like you made it happen. You have all the power, but this at the end of the day, it's also like people can't really comprehend in a way that like it's such an important job. You know, like me as a director, I'm always constantly searching for a producer. I need a producer. You know, I'd love to have the perfect producer team up with me to do that. But also, I feel that like it's sort of like, you know, producers maybe don't really get their due. And they work probably a million times as hard. The same thing even happened. Like, I'm not going to say that Entourage is like, you know, Entourage is an awesome TV show. But when they were making like Medellin, when E and what was the name of the guy? Whatever, Billy Walsh, he was the producer, and E was the producer. They had a documentary crew that was following him. They're like, oh, so what do? You produce? And he was like, well, I produce. And like, he was like. The documentary crew was like asking, so what were you happening? What was going on while this drama was happening on the set? He was like, well, I was setting up the next scene and making sure everything else was happening so this movie can keep on going. It's like people couldn't really comprehend that. And, you know, people should respect producers. But also, I understand that people, you know, whatever.
But yeah, so you already were on the scene at AwesomeCon a couple days before it was open to the public because you checked out the whole layout of the space.
Yeah, I checked out the layout of the space like a week before, like 2 weeks before that. But on the, and you know, and then on, we started filming on the Thursday before, when, as soon as everyone from the heads of state of AwesomeCon loaded in, we just started going from there.
I feel like you had like that really cool behind the scenes that not many people got to see, like the witness of a bigger comic convention coming to DC. Cause I knew like when I came in, I knew it was gonna be bigger, but I didn't realize it was gonna be like that much bigger. Like, I mean, I shouldn't say that much bigger. I kind of expected it to be the way it actually was, but it was just like seeing it for the first time. Cause I came in on Friday at 8 a.m., which is like with you guys, and it was before any of the artists start to load in. Cause basically the show started at 3 p.m. on Friday for like a preview type night. And so yeah, we're like there really early and not much is like set up in terms of exhibitors. I mean, the tables are out there, but it's pretty bare bones.
We were there when there was nothing there.
Yeah. And so, but basically...
I was even there before that when there was nothing there.
But what I saw when I went up the stairs at the DC Convention Center was basically they have like this check-in area now, which was where the whole convention was last year. It was basically like in a couple rooms. And I was like, oh, so basically the check-in now is is like, that was where last year's convention was. That just shows you how much bigger the convention was. When visually seeing that, I was like, okay, I see what they're doing now. This is going to be huge. And then walking up the stairs even further, they have like this big AwesomeCon monster that is this huge gateway that you enter to go through. If you've seen the little AwesomeCon monster guy, you know what I'm talking about. It's probably up on their website. But yeah, it was like this big arch that they created, and it was basically like a grand entrance. So I wanted to like immediately walk through that to be like, whoa, AwesomeCon. I think like before I even walked through it, I took a picture through it because I was like, this is amazing. But yeah, like, and then we found our table and I set up, and you guys had a ton of other stuff to do. So, and you guys had like your own special studio set up above the convention hall so you could look through the glass, and basically kind of like how MTV or some media has it at New York Comic Con. It was kind of like that. So you have your little bird's nest. Is there a word that they call that in the industry? Like a eagle's nest?
I mean, it
or
doesn't
something?
Really matter what people call it in the industry. People just make up names as they go.
I'm going to call it the eagle's nest. But yeah, you have like your little house up there, you know, and then you can look down on like all the ants up below. But I thought that was pretty cool. And yeah, like you guys had tons of gear, and you had a crew of like 5 or 6 people and a couple cameras, and I thought it was really like, you know, well produced, like from what I saw just on scene. I mean, I haven't seen any of the footage, and we will see that in the future. And I will also add, you did the AwesomeCon commercials and the AwesomeCon Kickstarter video too. So you've been like behind the scenes on the whole AwesomeCon in general. So, but yeah, like Friday night was a little slow, but I felt like it was just like the energizing of getting the, you know, getting the 3-day pass people in and the VIP people in so that they could see the lay of the land. And from what I talked with other exhibitors, that it was slow for everybody. It was more of just like a meet and greet type thing, being like, hey, this is AwesomeCon, you know, and people were, you know, coming in. And I still feel like Fridays, across the board for like any conventions that I've been to on Fridays are always lighter. I mean, people are working, people are coming into town still, you know, not everything is even set up all the way. It is kind of like, it is a preview, it is like opening up the curtain a little bit, but then the show, it still doesn't feel like it's officially on. And I've felt like that at New York and at other conventions that have like opened up before the weekend officially began. So that was Friday, and then Saturday was like the major day at AwesomeCon because there were so many people. It was very crowded in certain spots. Not to the level of New York Comic Con or obviously San Diego Comic Con. I mean, I could still access the bathroom pretty easily, and there's no lines for the bathrooms, which was really nice. Because dealing with that at New York Comic Con is really hard. You know, it's hard to like go to the bathroom, and then that takes 45 minutes, you know, just to go to the bathroom, and you lose all that time. But yeah, like at AwesomeCon, I felt like everything was still accessible, and that was really enjoyable. What else happened on Friday or on Saturday? So I didn't really get out of the table actually that much. I really only went to our panels and maybe saw a few other glimpses of things, but mostly I was really like working it. And so our first panel was The Other Side of the Creators, and that went pretty well.
Other Side of the Table?
Yeah, The Other Side of the Table, Lessons from Creators. Thank you, Joe. And Joe moderated that, and I felt like we had a pretty good crowd that they wanted to learn how to make comics, and we had good Q&A and good questions with that, and we did also record that on audio, so that will be an upcoming Carolyn and Joe Show podcast. So I mean, do you have anything to add about that panel?
I don't know. It's tough for me to say now because I feel like I'm going to say it before the show.
Well, I guess
I don't want to spoil it, or it has to be one of those things where I need to save that content type deal.
Yeah, I get it. So I thought that went over pretty well, and also all the panelists got to have their spotlight, their time, pretty evenly divided. And then, let's see.
I feel like on Saturday, I did a lot of talking. That whole weekend was just a lot of talking, just for, in general, with my job, and then with the table, and then with the panels, was a lot of talking.
Yeah, but you held up, you didn't lose your voice. That's pretty good. And also on Saturday, we did our podcast, our official Carolyn and Joe Show podcast, live. And we talked to 3 people from The Walking Dead, and I thought that was pretty nice. And actually, I felt going into that, I was like, well, first of all, I don't watch Walking Dead. So that's already, like, I didn't really want to talk that much about Walking Dead because we don't watch the show. I know Joe reads the comics.
I don't read the comics. I've only read, like, the intro.
Oh, I thought you have the first two, like, big comics.
Yeah, but I haven't read them through. And I'm not even caught up on the TV show. I haven't seen the latest season. And I think that's the first thing I said to the panel, and I felt like they thought I was joking.
but it's interesting because I did not want to reveal that really to the public, to be like, I don't even watch your show. But like, because, you know, you want to at least get them involved somehow. But, you know, from what I've heard, all the three people that we interviewed are already dead cast members. So I basically had a couple questions about death that I wanted to know about. But I thought that went okay. That went good. But
I personally felt like I was like, for me personally, when it came to all my panels or any one of the jokes I had that day, I felt like I was bombing like crazy. I felt like I bombed so bad on that day.
Well, also,
like really, really bad.
I felt like we did okay with that. I personally feel like our interview with Theo Crane from 2013 Awesome Con, who was an actor on The Walking Dead, that was only us with one person. So we could totally focus on Theo Crane. So I felt like we did a really great job with that. Whereas this interview had three people. So basically five people. And I think we only had like three mics and five people. And that's really hard. It's really kind of, it's not super hard to share a mic, but it is like when you want to jump into conversation, you can't just say anything. You kind of have to like lean forward and grab the mic, but then the other person might want to talk. And so I didn't want to like, the guy that was next to me was Vincent, and I didn't want to like, you know, I would rather have them have their moment because people are there to see them, and the crowd was really into Walking Dead there. And I know that they probably couldn't really care about us as much, but we did at least lead the discussion properly, and I felt like all those three people did get their time to shine as well.
It's just such a challenge in general with so many people of just like talking over, and that's like one of the things, even with this podcast or any other podcast or any conversation, is that the talking over people is like the part where, like, you know, if I hear so, you know, I just don't want that to happen. I really don't like that happening, and I felt like it was just, I was just bombing all over. I don't feel like it was the best. I was at my best that Awesome Con when it comes to being like a holding a great conversation.
Well, it's also interesting because you have to know, you're kind of like improvising off the other person to see if they're done talking. Because sometimes they'll like take a breath, but then you think like, oh, now I can jump in. But then they're still talking, and then you're like, oh, so you didn't get in your full thought. And I remember when I did take an improv class, there's this really interesting exercise. Probably, I would say, one of the most interesting exercises that we did was we'd have like 10 or 12 people in a circle. Like we'd literally be like touching our brains together, all of our heads together, and like a huddle, like a team sport huddle. And each one of us would have to say something, and we couldn't overlap each other. So basically we'd have to like, it was like this hive mind game to basically not talk over each other and make sure everyone said something. And sometimes there'd be gaps of like 10 seconds before, you know, like, but then we kind of got into the mood where like everyone knew when to say something. It was actually pretty impressive to be on the same wavelength. And there was a few times, like, after running it by a couple times, we started doing it more progressively and flawlessly, and no one spoke at the same time. And that was pretty interesting. But it's hard because also, like, you know, we don't watch the show. And also on top of it, like, I don't know these people, and I just met them when
in
the stage.
I know these characters, you know. I know what happens. Well, anything in general, but
I still like. When you know you can
just make it better. That's the only thing you can think of. That's the only thing I can think of, is just like, I know I can just, every instance I was like, I know I can make this better. I don't know why I couldn't make it as great as I wanted in my head. I felt like maybe it's like crazy because I'm making the documentary, I'm at the table, and then I have the panels, and maybe my biggest enemy is that I'm still aiming for the fucking heavens. No matter how many things I have on my plate, I'm still trying to make make a happening happen. You know what I mean? And like I struck out. I apologize, but I struck out. I struck out to myself. I don't know if anyone notices that or no, but I felt like I struck out to myself.
Also, I'm thinking about like having three people to interview and like two interviewees. You know, it's like basically really every time that we've had multiple people, even on our own podcast in our studio, it's really hard to have that gathering. It's because everyone does want to have their say and everyone wants to jump in on the conversation, but.
I guess people will be the judge. We're gonna post those episodes. We're pretty much gonna be off for a whole month, and you guys are just gonna listen to the other side of the table, the Carolyn and Joe show, like what was it, Back from the Dead, the pro wrestling panel, and the Kevin Sorbo. And then you tell us, you can tell me if I struck out or not. But maybe one day I'll actually be a guest on a panel. That'd be great.
Yeah,
and I can see how it is from the other side.
The other side of the moderator.
Well, I don't know. But maybe I just put a lot of pressure on myself to make things be like really great. And I don't think there's a problem with that because I want that shit to be great.
I think you had like a lot going on that weekend.
Yeah,
like,
but
more
I
than,
always have a lot going
but,
on.
No,
that's
really.
No,
but
that's no excuse.
It was more than the average
No, it's
person.
No excuse. No excuse. In that moment, I should be able to be just fucking on.
Well, also, I remember like I've mentioned it before on this podcast about how I saw, like, I guess it was like on some Austin TV convention or something, I don't remember the title, but basically they had the whole cast of Boy Meets World up there. There's like 12 people up there, and definitely a couple people did not get to talk at all, or barely say anything, or just introduce themselves, you know? It was like, it was almost like, man, they didn't spread the wealth on that, you know, or there just wasn't enough time to hit on all those people. So, I don't know, I'm really under the theory that, like, three people to interview is rough, but they were, you know, I thought it wasn't as bad as you'd think. I mean, maybe I have to go back and listen to it, but it wasn't horrible. It wasn't like, man, that's horrible. Cause also one guy like scared me. He came up to my table and he's like, oh, cause I had, on Sunday I had a Women in Comics podcast and he was like, oh man, did you hear about the women in gaming panel, I guess they had. And he was like, everyone walked out. Like, I still don't even know what happened, really. I've heard a couple people explain it, but I was just like, what? I hope some, like, crazy thing does not happen in Women in Comics. Because, you know, there's always going to be, like, those people. Like, and it did kind of happen on our panel, and I can talk about it now, because I regret to say I failed to record it, because we were in such a rush for the convention that I totally forgot to record this panel, but I didn't have the device with me in the room. But basically, like, you know, they did get on that topic of like, oh, body issues and Barbies, and someone even mentioned like Monster High, but I didn't like jump in enough quick enough to be like, oh my god, I love Monster High. How, you know, like, I mean, yeah, they are super skinny, but like,
well, I'll be happy to jump into the conversation right now in my pissed off state. I'll be happy to see what my theory is. What was the deal? What were they talking about?
First, the whole conversation was really interesting because at first it really did go from Women in Comics, and all of us did say, like, first of all, the panel was organized by Teresa Roberts Logan, and she organized me, Juana Medina, and Michael Kavna from Washington Post, and I thought we did have we actually did have visuals. Juana. We gave all the images to Juana, and she put together like a little slideshow that we had up on the screen, which was pretty nice. So we talked about our stuff, and then we talked about other women that inspire us. And we talked about like women that are making big waves in comics. And then I mentioned how at Small Press Expo, it's like, it really feels like there is a 50-50 split between men and women presenting their comics behind the table. And then, but then when you reach, like, Marvel and DC, like, less than 10% of the people that work for Marvel and DC are women. So you do see that there is a gap there, as much as people, like, you know, don't want to admit
What were the people bringing up? What were they having a problem with?
I would say the first, I don't say anyone had a problem, but it basically went from women in comics, like, because I really think that, like, women will break through eventually to comics. Like, women will get, like, good female artists are going to get exposed eventually.
Well, let me ask you this. Why are women's goals just to work for Marvel or DC?
That wasn't really part of the conversation, but I was bringing up how, like, it is a big divide there. Because, like, how many other industries are really like, oh, yeah, only, like, 7% are women? That's very small. So, like, there is a big gap there. Because then when you look at women who do create comics, there's, like, tons of women who create comics out there. But then women who work professionally for Marvel and DC is a very small, slim number. But that was a brief part of the conversation. That was literally like one sentence. So then it went to like this larger whole, like the whole room was at this larger conversation of like basically how women are treated in the media, how women are treated like everywhere, like in Hollywood and stuff. And so then we started talking about Melissa McCarthy and like how she's breaking ground. And
well, my theory on women in the media is almost the same thing as in life. Women are treated like how they want to be treated.
So basically how you present yourself and your confidence matters.
Yes.
And also one of the other, I guess, main points to drive home that happened at the Women in Comics panel was basically Michael Kavanaugh was like, well, basically you vote with your money.
So you vote with your money.
If he's like, it's all about these Hollywood or whoever making money with these things. So, you know, if DC and Marvel or whoever puts out a book, you know, with Amanda Connor drawing it, you know, he didn't say this, but I mentioned Amanda Connor. But it's like you want to support her as an artist because she's freaking awesome, first of all. But besides that, you know, you just want to show your support. Or even like an indie female artist who's no one ever heard of, but you like her work a lot, then buy her book and tell people about it. That's part of how we can overcome all this stuff,
and
you know?
And even though I hate throwing around the word like, oh, I want to show my support or stuff like that, and I always have the straight-up pig-headed perspective, that is what you're doing. You are, if you want something to exist, give them money to exist. It's to me personally, it's a no-brainer. I do that all the time. You know, I don't want it. I just buy the stuff I want. I buy the stuff I listen to. I pay for the movie I want to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I want that to keep on going, if I really want them to, you know, to still be in the game, you pay for them. You know what I mean? Or, you know, I don't know how anyone else would do it.
Or you can write the editors. You can say like, hey, I noticed.
I feel like that's not going to do anything.
It might not, but at least they will. If you get so many
money talks,
but if you purchase product, you write the editor and you tweet about it or something or tell other people about it, I feel like that does gain momentum, especially now.
Sure, but if all those same people were writing those letters, if they buy the book, if they buy anything, that'll be just as impressive.
Definitely.
I mean, it's no question. It's the same thing with ratings. Well, if people are watching it, maybe people will do that. And, you know, maybe we can throw the stuff around. It's hard to find or stuff like that. But really, the simplest path will go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sell that book out. Show them. Sell that movie out. Show them. You know what I mean? Sell the concert out. Show them. There's no other. It's like you can do these political stances, but we live near in D.C., and there's people who are always protesting all the time in front of the White House. They can easily just ignore that.
Yeah.
That's nothing. You got to hit them in the pocket.
So the world revolves around money.
The world revolves around chickens and eggs. Trading. You know, it's supply and demand.
That's one of the first things
it doesn't matter if it's money. It doesn't matter if it's fucking chicken or eggs. You know?
Well, I do think, you know, I thought that was pretty interesting in the conversation. And it is true, like, even women in newspaper comics, there's not that many. Like, Hillary Price and a couple others, but it's like, that's sad, too. I mean,
but
like,
are they really all that good?
I would say most of them are pretty good, but I'm just saying, like, there's still, like, a gap there. There's still, like, women that aren't represented. And then considering when you can go to Small Press Expo and see, like, a whole ton of women making comics, it's pretty amazing. And also online, you see a whole bunch of women making comics. But then as far as, like, a mainstream thing, it's hard to find them. Like, especially...
But how are you going to keep it 50-50? How would anyone keep it anything
50-50? I'm not saying everything has to be equally divided, but I would just say it would be nice to have a little bit more women presence in the mainstream of comics because... People that don't read comics, they might only know, like, Kathy. And like, I've even heard, oh, yeah, Jenny McCarthy wrote, I can't remember her title of her article, but she writes, like, a weekly piece for some online newspaper. And she was like referenced like comic strips. Like it was something like, relax, read some comic strips, read Kathy. And I'm like, dude, nothing against Jay McCarthy, because I think she's awesome. But I'm like, why are you referencing Kathy that hasn't even been in the comic pages for like at least 5 years? See, you know what I mean? It's like people have an old way of looking at comic strips, but it's like, there's nothing new that mainstream people are talking about. And I feel like there will come a day, I don't know who or what or when, but there was going to come a day where like a couple females like really does make a big presence like outside of the comics world that's still like artistically a big deal.
I personally feel like this whole sex issue is still bullshit.
It is.
It shouldn't be good. You shouldn't be thinking if it's man or woman or anything about a craft. So fucking just erase the names then. Go original writer, original, and then sort it out and see if it's good or not. You know, why not? Why not? Just erase those names. Because I'm so tired of thinking about, like, because at the same time, if, like, say I'm going to go buy something, if I'm going to go and buy it, I'm going to want to show my support, and I'm an artist, the last thing I want someone, from an artist's perspective, the last thing I want someone to do is buy my work because of fucking charity. And that's like, that to me, that's an insult. No, I want them to buy it because they think it's the fucking shit. Because
it inspires them. I don't think people are being like, oh, she's a girl, I'm going to buy it.
No, but that's what's going to happen.
I don't think people are like that. I think what's happening is that I think...
Girl power, that's what shit's going to happen. It's going to be like, we got to support the gals. You know what I mean? But we all know support the gals will not work. It has to just lay on the quality. You have to make something completely
mind-blowing. Yes, but women are not getting to even break through yet. Some are, but it's not at... If you look at everything, it's still man's world.
I feel like if you think
women about... Women are sex objects.
I feel like, yes, women are sex objects. Guys, everyone's a fucking sex object, you know? Girls even look at other girls as fucking sex objects. But at the end of the day, I still believe the fucking cream will rise to the top.
I agree with that.
And it's like, I get tired of saying, like, because once the girls come above... Once they become strong enough, and then the guys are going to be like, oh, we need this. It's just going to be this constant back and forth, and I'd rather
this
just fuck all this shit.
This is not about girl versus guy. This has nothing to do with that. But what I am saying is that, like, there are some really old school mentalities still in publishing industry.
And you know why? Because it's fucking old school dudes running that shit.
Exactly. And do you know, like, even Mike Kavanaugh during the
panel. And they're
panel,
not going to give up their jobs.
He said, like, in the, you know, I can't remember what date it was, because he's more of a historian and he remembers that stuff because he's a journalist. But, like, you know, back in the day at National Cartoonist Society, when they first allowed women to come to the meetings, some guys didn't want to show up anymore. Because they were like, oh, now they're ruining the boys' club.
Yeah, because that's fucking lame, too. You know what I mean? Any of that stuff is lame. Any of that exclusiveness... Like something like that is fucking lame. You know why? Because they're insecure. Insecurities are insecurity is the leading killer of human beings.
That's true, but what I'm getting at is, like, I like men, you know, even Teresa was like, we love men, you know, she's like, I have a son, I'm married, you know, like, we love men, it's not like we're against men. But I guess what I'm saying, where this whole panel led was from, like, you know, giving females more opportunities, and then also, you know, voting with your dollar type thing. And then, like, a couple people mentioned, like, they were just like, and what about, like, showing different types of women? Like, you know, obviously there's the Barbie thing, and then there's, like, Monster High. And I'm like, but then I was like, whoa, you know, I didn't even get to say this on the panel, but I do have to say that, like, I know people have body issues, and I know Barbie, if she was a real person, she would not even be able to stand. Like, it's, I guess, gravity would... take her down or something. But I'm just saying, these are also dolls, and these are also shouldn't be taken at the value of, like, this is real, this is a doll. So I just have to say that I love Barbie. I actually really do like Barbie a lot, and I think she's fashionable, and I think that she can be anything she wants to be. They have Barbie astronaut, they have Barbie scientist, they have Barbie teacher. She's not just in a bathing suit all the time, okay? And I don't think it's a bad thing that she looks good in a bathing suit. You know, it's Barbie. She is in a way the ideal woman, but I don't necessarily think everyone has to look like Barbie. But she is an inspiration. And also, I will say my first ever comic book was Spider-Man. But besides that, like, I used to subscribe to Barbie fashion, and I used to get that in the mail. And I remember some of the stories to this day. I still have several copies that are in pretty good condition. And I really enjoyed the heck out of that comic book. And I know people are going to make fun of me for liking Barbie fashion. I don't care. I love that book. And also, years later, like 15 or 20 years later, I don't remember when I was like actually looking at it and I was looking at the credits. Because when I was young, I wouldn't look at like, oh, who drew this? But like years later, I looked at that and I'm like, oh my God, Amanda Connor worked on this book. And it blew my mind because it was basically like a full circle thing. So I was like, I love Amanda Connor and she worked on Barbie fashion and now like the whole world collides. So I don't see how Barbie is a bad thing. So like, let's just stop, like as women, let's just stop ruining Barbie for everyone. Cause if that's cool, if you don't like it, then you don't have to buy it or look at it.
It still just comes down to jealousy.
It does.
It's literally, to me, it literally is that. The whole thing is based off of jealousy and insecurity. That's what people are fucking jealous of a fucking doll.
And also, then somebody said something about Monster High, and I was like,
they're still jealous of a doll.
I didn't even get to that, but I will say, like, yes, the Monster High dolls are skinny, but also they're zombies and they're like characters. You know what I mean? And also, I bought a Monster High doll, and it's the Mad Scientist, and I'm like, dude, that's awesome. Like, for a chick to be like, whoa, this doll is a Mad Scientist. Like, really, are you gonna get down on that? Because I think that's pretty awesome.
Sorry, I feel like everyone this day and age needs to have something to complain about. That's what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Everyone's gonna complain about something. So at the end of the day, it's all fucking bullshit. I'm sorry, but it is. No matter what, even opinions, man. You know.
I mean, I guess people want to see, like, a doll that has different body shapes.
Then make it yourself.
Yeah, then I guess...
Go get your freaking Mr. Potato Head and shit. Go put that together. You know what I mean? All these people who are complaining are just people who sit and... They're just fucking... what's it called? When you're a couch... Whatever.
Couch potato.
No, but not a couch potato, but you're like...
Bystander.
You're just fucking bystander, man. Go out there and freaking do something, man.
Also, now that I'm hearing the end of the show music, I will have to say, big kudos goes out on Saturday at AwesomeCon. Nick Galifianakis brought out Richard Thompson, the creator of Cul-de-sac, and also I'm a member of Team Cul-de-sac, so it was awesome to see Richard Thompson out and about in public. So that was pretty amazing. I was not expecting him to be there, but he showed up. And he came by the table. So thank you to Richard Thompson and thank you to Nick Galifianakis for that, because that was pretty amazing. And that probably was like one of my main highlights of AwesomeCon. Very awesome. Very awesome. Good to see you guys. And there's just so much stuff going on at AwesomeCon. Like, I didn't even get to see Andrew WK at all. But I've seen him in the past. But I was like, man, I wanted to catch a glimpse of Andrew WK. I didn't really catch a glimpse of him. I walked by the celebrity area for like literally 2 minutes and just kind of like gazed over, but I didn't actually see any of the top celebrities that had the longer line areas. But yeah, and I didn't get to see Nicholas Brendon, but I saw him last year, so it's all good. I was very content with the awesome con. Next year will be even huger because they're gonna go downstairs. They're gonna take over the whole convention center, it seems. Any other closing words on...
Well, I feel like there's not really any closing words because we're just going to continue this next week for like the next...
For the next month.
Next month.
4 weeks.
Next month you're going to experience... Next 4 weeks is going to be all about the panels. You're going to hear exclusive from us since it was us. It was us at the panel. It's from our perspective. You get to hear that. So we'll do a little prompt and a little pre-wrap at the end of each one. And you get to hear our thoughts about what panel's coming up, and this was just a little taste. I apologize if I'm pissed off, but I still am going to be pissed off, so you're going to have to get used to that.
I didn't get to attend your Kevin Sorbo Q&A that you moderated, but I heard that you did a good job, so I'm excited to listen to that.
I guess the people are going to have to find out. You can take my word for it, or you can go and listen. CarolynandJoeShow.com, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, wherever you want to find it. You can Google Carolyn and Joe Show. It will pop up and you'll be able to hear that. But next week, I don't know what you're going to hear, but you're going to hear something exclusively from AwesomeCon 2014. I don't remember the weekend all that well, but I bet it was great. Maybe when the days come, I'll start to be able to breathe. But right now, I'm still sort of in the middle of the hurricane of of making the documentary. So it's like, it's not even over for me. It's sort of just begun. So yeah, that's how it is. Again, maybe I'll be in a better mood. Maybe I won't be. Maybe something good will happen to me. It will change my mood. But I'm not counting on it. I'm not counting on it. So don't forget to check out AstraightProductions.com. They're the guys who produced this work. And they also produced the documentary. And JoeCarabello.com. I produced the documentary. Check out one-shots.com for new films whenever. And after that, go to goastray.tumblr for updated weeks. Also behind the scenes of the making of the Awesome Con documentary that was posted on my Instagram Live. And don't forget to check out Curls, Carolyn's comic strip, at curls-studio.com/curls. And also Sketch Before Sleep. Check them all out. They're all out there. All the years' work of Sketch Before Sleep at curls-studio.com/curls.
Also, May 3rd, Joe and I will be at Free Comic Book Day.
That's right.
In Vienna, Virginia at Big Planet Comics. And May 31st, again, is the Blood Drive Cartoonist Draw Blood. More information is at curls-studio.com.
That's right. If we're going to have something free, maybe you'll see it there. But until then, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other.
Excellence.